Hey Mac Geeks, it's Wednesday, January 19th, 2005. This is your MacCast, the show for Mac Geeks by a Mac Geek. I'm Adam, and this is the show where we discuss all things Macintosh. As always, the opening music is Say Anything by Manda and the Marbles. Visit them at mandaandthemarbles.com. All right, right into the news. You guys might notice that I have a little bit of a cold going on here. I've been out of it the last couple days, so I apologize if I sound a little off. But let me jump right into the news. We'll probably make this a short MacCast because I'm still not feeling 100%, but I'll have maybe a bigger show on Friday. Anyway, good news for everybody who's been wondering about the publisher of Think Secret, Nicholas Carelli, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He was sued by Apple because he was releasing information about the Mac Mini on his website before Macworld, Mac Mini, and I think some other devices. But anyway, Apple got their lawyers out after him and sued him. And it turns out the story of Nicholas is that he started Think Secret when he was only 13, and I believe he's 19 now. So, you know, he's still a teenager, and he's publishing a really great website, thinksecret.com. Go over there if you don't on a normal basis, and they put out a lot of, he on his site puts out a lot of rumor stuff, and apparently got a hold of some obviously viable information now that we know what came out of Macworld about upcoming products, posted it to his website, which in my opinion, complete, you know, freedom of press, journalistic integrity. If he gets the information, he should be free to share it with everybody. And so he did that, and Apple sued him for it. Well, you know, he's a teenager. He doesn't have, you know, big lawyers and all this money to defend himself. So for a while, he wasn't really sure what he was going to do. And it turns out that it looks like a gentleman by the name of Terry Gross is going to go ahead and represent him, I'm assuming free of charge. And Terry was actually once a lawyer for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. You can visit their website, www.eff.org. If you're not aware of this organization, they are an organization that, you know, fights for rights on the internet. Specifically, you know, they'll fight things like, you know, laws blocking our access to information on the internet, things like that. They're a really great organization. And I guess Terry has his own private practice in San Francisco now and has offered to represent Nicholas free of charge. So I'm very happy to hear that, and it's good news. And you know, shame on Apple for doing this. I mean, that information coming out did nothing more than further the hype leading up to Macworld, at least for me, and I think a number of my listeners who've responded. And you know, I don't think it did anything wrong. I think Apple's going overboard here. Apple is supposed to be the company that, you know, supports the rogue person. I think Steve Jobs himself, back in the 80s, referred to them as, you know, the pirates of the computer industry. You know, those rogue rebel people, you know, going after the computer market. And, you know, now it's a complete about face that, you know, they're a successful company doing well. I don't know. I don't agree with it. But anyway, good for Nicholas, and hopefully they win in court. You know, freedom of press should be maintained. All right. Looks like now the Mac Mini is now shipping. They're getting reports that people who ordered online got their emails saying their shipments are starting to ship. So hopefully this will be getting into people's hands. If any of my listeners get one of those Mac Minis and wants to do a quick review for all of us, let us know what your impressions are once you get it in your hands and set up. Certainly love to hear it. Send us an MP3 audio comment, or call the voice hotline and let us know what you think of your new Mac Mini. Apple's also been shipping tons and tons of iPod Shuffles, apparently to the point that there is already a shortage of iPod Shuffles. I've been hearing things like Apple stores are getting shipments in of 100 and they're sold out within, you know, 2 or 3 hours. So it looks like iPod Shuffles are going to be pretty scarce for a while. If you're one of the lucky people that have one, congratulations to you. In addition, I guess Apple's also now shipping the iLife 05 Suite and iWork. Those shipments have begun being sent out as well. I'm hoping to get my copy of iLife 05 possibly on Friday. So I'll let you know when I do and what my impressions are. And anybody else, if you have ordered a copy of iWork, iLife 05, or an iPod Shuffle, I'm still waiting to hear some firsthand listener reviews of those products. So send me an MP3 comment or call the hotline, or you can even send email if you don't want to go on record with your voice. But I'd appreciate that. So, speaking of the iPod Shuffle, it looks like the iPod Shuffle was named Time Magazine's Gadget of the Week. And one thing I've been hearing about this, and I think it's in the Time article as well, is that the audio quality on the iPod Shuffle seems to be living up to the audio quality of the large iPods, the iPod Mini, and the current generation of iPods. So that's really good to hear. I guess apparently it's really hard to get good quality audio out of a small flash-based MP3 player. All right, on to comments and feedback and thoughts. Got a comment from a listener, Steve Broderson. More feedback on the Mac Mini, so I'm going to let you take a listen to what Steve had to say, and then we'll make a couple comments about it.
Hello, MacCast. This is Steve in Kentucky, and I'm recording this audio comment on Apple's Logic Pro 7 software. And I did that because you asked for comments for the new Mac Mini, and I think Apple really could have something cool on their hands if they tapped into a feature of Logic Pro 7 called distributed audio processing. As you can guess, a multi-track audio production software like Logic 7 can generate a pretty hefty load on your processor. So Pro 7 has the ability to distribute the processing over a series of nodes, which are other computers that are connected via gigabit Ethernet. And what that does is allow you to process certain things like reverbs, which require a lot of processing power, on another processor. And frees up the main host computer to run more tracks and more plugins at the same time and all that. And I think the Mac Mini is a G4, and it does not have gigabit Ethernet. The two requirements for distributed audio processing are a G5 chip and gigabit Ethernet. So I really hope that Apple either decreases the requirements for Logic 7 and allows G4s to do distributed audio processing, or that it ups the Mac Mini in the near future to a G5 and gigabit Ethernet capability. It's probably just a small segment of the market that would even care about that, but other programs could potentially use technology like the distributed processing to make large files, you know, batch process or process even faster. And the Mac Mini would be a great way to stack a lot of those processor chips up for very quick computing using that technology.
So, Steve makes a good point here, and this is something that has been discussed all over with the Mac Mini. The concept of building Mac clusters or putting a bunch of Mac Minis together to get multiple processors going and perform, large number crunching tasks. This would include things, obviously, like Steve mentioned, in audio processing, but also 3D rendering, film and movie processing. There's a lot of applications in the fields of mathematics and science. And I don't think we'll see a G5 Mac Mini anytime soon, but I'm pretty sure Apple can figure out how to make Logic work in a cluster with G4s. And something else you may want to look into if you're considering Mac clusters is Apple has a technology called Xgrid technology, and you can get the information on the Apple website. I have a link in the show notes, but it's basically for doing exactly this: clustering a bunch of Mac computers. They don't have to be Mac Minis, but clustering a bunch of computers together and using all that processing power sort of as one processor. So you have, in the case of the Mac Mini, you could have four or five 1.25 gigahertz processors all working on crunching one file or one process in tandem. So they sort of break up the work and divide it among the processors. And there's technology to do that. And I think we're going to see a lot of that with the Mac Mini as being a really low-end option to getting a lot of computing processing power, so just when you need raw horsepower. So it'll be interesting to see. All right, the next thing I wanted to talk about is over at Macworld, there is an opinion piece, and I think it was picked up from actually an article in Computer World by a author named Frank Hayes. And he was making comments about the Mac Mini and its impact on sort of the corporate IT computer world, and just kind of downplaying that the Mac Mini is really not going to make a direct impact on that market, but sort of have a secondary impact. And you can, there's a link from the show notes. You can go over and read that article if you want to see what that's all about. But something he mentions in the article that I wanted to comment on was that because Apple's not a large player in the corporate IT world in terms of desktop computers, computers that are on people's desks in the large company corporate world, that they have this ability to do whatever they want in terms of their design and things like that. And one of the examples he gives is Apple getting rid of the floppy drive. Well, that sort of started me thinking in the opposite direction, and I'd be interested to hear your comments on this. But PCs have the opposite problem, and I don't know, maybe it is because they're in the corporate world, and the corporate world holds on to all this legacy technology for so long, but PCs still have parallel ports for printers. And I don't know if you've been in a computer electronics store lately, but I don't think there's a whole lot of parallel port inkjet printers being sold these days. Most everything I see is USB, and it's USB 2 for sure. And yeah, I know PCs have USB 2 ports, but why do they keep sticking that legacy parallel port on there? Another example is the floppy. PCs are still being sold with floppies. I mean, who uses floppies anymore? We have USB keys and a floppy stores like 1.4 megabytes. You can send that via email these days. There's just no reason for it, yet it's still there. And the last thing is, the PS2 mouse and keyboard. They have this PS2 connector for mice and keyboards, and I'm pretty sure almost all modern mice and keyboards are USB. And I've even purchased some PC mice and keyboards for use with my Mac, and they give you this little adapter to adapt it to PS2 in case you don't have a USB port on your computer. So I don't know, it just seems like PCs need to give up on that old technology and move forward. I mean, I don't know, just very strange, but his article made me think about it, and just thinking that that's the wrong way to be thinking, is that you have to keep being backwards compatible for forever and ever and ever. And that would actually solve, the problem we talked about on the last show about bringing over your mouse and keyboard from your PC. If PCs just had USB mice and keyboards instead of this old PS2 technology, that would make it even easier for people to switch over to the Mac Mini if they wanted to. So, there you have that. Last thing I wanted to comment on was there is it depends on how you look at it. It's either a great thing or a horrific set of pictures over at AppleMatters.com. They went ahead and tore apart an iPod Shuffle. They did an iPod Shuffle autopsy, so they could get in there and see what was inside the guts of the iPod Shuffle and what makes it tick. So for those of you who want an iPod Shuffle and can't get one, that may be a bit disappointing that they destroyed one. But the pictures are really cool, and it's very, very interesting. I have links from the show notes directly to those photos of that autopsy. So just something interesting to look at if you're interested on seeing how the iPod Shuffle is assembled or put together, and you obviously don't want to pull apart your own. All right, that's the MacCast for today. Visit the website, maccast.com, to get the full show notes. Send me emails and MP3 audio comments to maccast@gmail.com, or you can always call the hotline, 206-222-2788. That's 20-MACCAST-8, and leave a voice message for me. I love getting all your comments. I'm getting a lot of great feedback from everybody. Like I said, I'm going to try and do a little longer show on Friday. Sorry, I'm a little bit under the weather. Last thing I'm going to leave you with is another bit of new music. It's from a band called Shadrach. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. It's Shadrach. The track is called It's Only Rain. And I received this track from a listener, Kyle, who got permission from the band for me to play it, so I'm going to trust him on that one and play it for you guys. You can visit the band's website. It's www.shadrach.org, S-H-A-D-R-A-C-H, and it's .org. And they have a CD which is available on the iTunes Music Store. The CD is called Stepping on the Atmosphere, and there's a link from the show notes directly to the CD on iTunes. So if you like what you hear, please support the band. Go over to iTunes Music Store and make a purchase. All right, that's it, and I will see you all next time.
Mascara, he would make it slide right down her face. But Jane was thinking this evening when he called her, things are gonna change. He said, let's meet at Bombay Gardens before it gets too late tonight. Well, Jane was hoping maybe she'd finally see a ring. He showed up to tell her. Job.